you guys meet together, the synergy, the togetherness, and the people that contribute. It truly is a body ministry, and that is so, so important. I'm going to get to something in the message that really relates to this at a particular point here. But, wow, I don't know about you, but listening to that little girl sing.
Oh,
boy. Wow. Now, how would you describe that little girl as far as singing that song?
Passionate.
Yes. Did she believe what she was singing?
Yes.
Wow. I'll tell you what. That was really something, wasn't it, Ira? Yeah, and I'll tell you, the Lord is building all of us to be that way about Him. We're not all very effusive people just out there, and many of you and me, we're more shy than we are at anything. Is that right?
Yes.
I think for most people, there's a shyness. But you know something? When you believe that God is going to give you the words to say, you don't have to have it in your mind before you step out there to say something to somebody. When God moves on you and you feel that moving, that anointing of the Holy Spirit, then you step out in faith and you begin to talk. And it's what's been said before. It's not you. There's no reason for us to be nervous. All of us are nervous at times, aren't we? About standing up in front of people or even talking to somebody, just in a private way sometimes. There's a nervousness because, are they going to hear what I'm saying? You know? And we're being built up for a purpose. It isn't just so that we self-improve. God has a particular vision. When He created man, He had a particular vision in mind for mankind. And we were, Adam and Eve were put on this earth, and they messed up. And everybody messes up. And what God's plans were ended up having to be changed. But God, see, since He was God, He already knew that all of that stuff was going to happen, and He had a plan for that. Didn't He? Thank God. In His foreknowledge, in whom He foreknew, He made us to be conformed. We're in the process of being conformed to the image of His Son. Now that's a great vision to hold on to, isn't it? It's a great thing to know that we have been saved from the wrath of God. We have a place we know we're going to be going to.
Amen.
That idea, now we're not there yet. That's something in the future, isn't it? But that thing that's in the future gives us a basis for walking through the crap that you got to go through in this life. Right? I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Because this is really, really important. Now, I heard words coming out of our mouths in singing some of these songs. Let's see if I can find them, because I wrote down a whole bunch of them. Well, standing on the promises of God, that deals with vision.
Yeah.
I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. Right? Let me get to some other ones here. Where is it? Open our eyes, Lord. There was something else I thought I had written down. Maybe I didn't. But no, that wasn't it. Maybe I put it somewhere else. Oh, I'll get to that later. Okay, so this whole thing. Let's read this particular verse. It's Proverbs 29, verse 18. Okay? Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. Mm-hmm. It might say perish. It might have some other words there. If you look in some of the translations, it says, where there's no vision. Let's get the definitions here. When it talks about vision, it's talking about either seeing what's out ahead, it's revelation, where you now have insight to something, and that could be future or present, right? What would be another, let's see, there's another word too. I guess it's just perish, yeah. Right? Yeah, so when that happens, people are walking around in circles. That's another way that it's translated. When you don't know what direction to go in, if you don't know what God is saying to you, you and I walk around in circles. Where, you know, it's like, where's my keys? Yeah. Where did I put those keys? I know they're here somewhere. And isn't that a horrible thing to think that we've been Christians for so long and here we are still walking around in circles a lot of times? Now, you know, that doesn't, because we can admit that, doesn't mean that that forgives us and now we can just go ahead and keep on living that way. God is preparing us for something that's really greater. And you've heard me say this before. And the closer that we're getting to that time, the more we're going to understand exactly what that's all about.
Yes.
Because many people don't understand what that's about. None of us here really have the whole picture of that. But don't you want to know?
Yes.
Now I want to ask you a question, since Reggie brought up about 9/11. How many people here know where you were when you found out about 9/11? Just about everybody. You know where you were. I still have the feelings when I saw what happened on the TV. I was teaching at Milan Village School. I had a history class. It was a U.S. history class. And in the next room was Norm Rohrbusch, and he was doing a science class, and he had the TV on for some reason. And they cut in on whatever he was watching, and they had the thing about the planes. And there was a knock at my door, the classroom door, and the student said, "Hey, Mr. Longnecker, Mr. Rovers wants you and us and the kids to come in. You got to see this." So, knowing Norm, I didn't know what it might be. So, I said, "I thought, you know, he had some big joke he was going to play on us, you know." So, but we went over. I took the class, we went over, and here's the one tower already, you know, on fire. And then we saw that whole, and then we watched it for almost the rest of the time in school, because it was overwhelmingly, it just takes you over, you know, the emotion of all of that, right? So that day, 9/11, has been called the day that changed America forever. A lot of things changed after that. We had particular governmental acts that took privacy rights away, the Patriot Act. There were other things. Fear filled America, not knowing when there was going to be another attack like that, right? And all that fear, and then all kinds of regulations, all these things were being done. And the financial stuff that was going on at the same time led to some things years later. But America, from that point, we could say, boy, that was a life-changing event. Something shifted in America. You know? There was a big shift. It's kind of like the 60s. The 1960s.
Yeah.
There was a big shift.
Yeah.
That happened in America. Didn't it?
Yeah.
And you can go back, and there are these places where you can look back in history and say, wow, that changed a lot of things. Right? And I wanted to say, before we get right into the depth of this, we're in a shift in this world and in America right now. I want to ask you, talking about shifts, when things are shaken up, because that's part of what happens with a shift. People don't know what's going on. Things are different. You move to a different community. Things aren't the same. The people are different. The ways are different. Laws are different in different states, and it takes a little while to adjust, doesn't it? So one thing that certainly happens anytime there's a shift, there's chaos. Think about that. When there's big shifts in something, there's usually, maybe not 100% of the time, but usually there's some kind of chaos, because people don't know how to react. Or there's, if it's depending on the type of shift that's happened, there might be war, World War I, World War II, Vietnam. You have all these things that can happen that really change the way things are done. It changes the culture. It changes the way certain things are going to manifest themselves in a nation. And that can really be a big thing. And I want to say too that I think it's important that, you know me, I look at the bigger picture and history, because I was a history teacher, and the government and cultural things, and I tend to look at that. But I want you to know that even though I use that kind of framework when I preach, there is absolute application to you as an individual, and some of the things I'm going to talk about, you can make those applications to yourself. Anybody here feeling like you're in a big shift in your life? A big change. Something's different. I got onto this message because Kathy woke up one morning and she felt like something was different. You want to explain what happened that morning? Go ahead.
She'll need a mic.
Oh yeah, she needs a mic. You guys are really great at the mic thing now. Man.
Actually, it was just last Monday.
Yeah.
I woke up and my spirit was not agitated, but I could tell that, you know, there was just something different going on in the spirit. And I woke up and Malcolm's in bed still because he sleeps usually 2 hours after, longer than I do. I'm up around
5. I'm made to do that.
Yeah. Yes.
So she needs her quiet time.
I need my quiet time. So I'm out in the living room praying, and I was agitated and I was feeling like just something wasn't right. And I continued to pray, and as I was praying, it was like the Lord said to me, shift. And I thought, okay, is he telling me I need to change something? Or is there a shift going on that I need to know about? So when we got up, we did our normal devotions together, and the devotion was about the shift. And I said, and Malcolm didn't know that this had happened.
Yeah, it's all, you know, we opened up to...
Yeah, the devotion that was the next one. And so said, Malcolm, that's what the Lord was speaking to me this morning. And throughout the whole week, that word kept coming up. Shift, shift, shift. Then, can I tell this about yesterday?
Yeah, I was going to ask John about
You want to sing the song?
So, all right, so listen, so let me just say this. Look, yesterday, we were up visiting John and Heather and the kids, and so those two were talking, and I was talking with Heather, and in their conversation, one of you do it, but I just wanted to set the background. I just want to set the background. Somebody should do it, because you would say it better.
I don't want to offend anybody, but when we moved back from Ireland, they don't have country music in Ireland. So when we moved back, I was sort of thinking, hey, and I was regaling because we were talking about country music. And I said, I moved home and I was like, you know what, maybe I'll just give it a try. I'll see what I can do. And I turned on the radio and the very first song, someone came on in a very droney, sort of boring song, and it was, I'm doing shift work. Working 7 to 9, 9 to 7. I get up and go to work and do shift work. And I was like, no, that's it. I'm never listening to country.
No.
And I said,
Malcolm,
you gotta tell Malcolm this.
So the four of us got back together and we're talking, and then Kathy mentioned that, and then John told me this story. And I go, oh, well, that's really kind of cool, John, because that's what the message is on.
We're all going to be doing shift work.
Everybody's going to do that, yes. So we're in a shifting world. Now, there's always things that change. You know, there's little changes, there's individual things that happen, and things happen in a little bit bigger scales. But what's really important is when God says, I'm shifting things. I'm doing something different. Why would that be important? Why would that be important for us? Should we know what he's looking for? Yeah, because we want to go in the same direction. Without a vision, the people perish. Because vision gives us direction. This isn't just a bunch of philosophical words. These are things that we need to really pay attention to and grab a hold of. We have to be like that little girl that sings. Right? These words that are spoken when we get together, that we sing when we get together, the testimonies, the story, these are all important things, and we are so, so rich. I was sitting there and I'm thinking, how rich we are. We are spiritually rich, having all this kind of input that can help us make right decisions, give us eyes to see. Or did we sing a song? What was that song? Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see Jesus. Now, we're going to see him face to face one day. That should excite and terrify us in certain ways. If you know what I mean. It'll be more excitement. But, the living God standing right in front of you. And we're going to see him face to face. But in the meantime, while we're on this earth, we're going to see him in each other. People that are listening to God and moving in the Spirit and speaking what needs to be spoken and living the way that people should be living, the way God first intended it, right? The way it should be, is going to make a difference, not only for fellow Christians, but for the people that don't know him. Right? Okay. Do you guys have a lot of stamina? Do you have stamina? I know. After yesterday, I know that Lorna has stamina. 100-year-old Lorna, she has stamina. Do we have stamina? Okay? Yeah? You got that, because I'm looking where I am, and I got a long way to go. And you are probably going, oh, anybody that wants to leave, you know, you can. No judgment. But I'm telling you, I think it's important for what's going to be said today that you hear it all the way through to the end. Okay? And I'll really try to slim it down where I can. But I don't want you to miss anything that's really important either. I'm gonna slim it down just like Laura did.
Oh my word, break out the pillows.
Okay. Alright, so with this in mind, with not knowing that a vision gives you a purpose, right? Right?
Yes.
So without a vision, we're just walking around in circles. We're unrestrained. We start thinking ways and doing things that we shouldn't because we really don't know what else to do. And so we get involved with stupid stuff and things that really don't edify, don't really bring us to the place where God wants to take us. Right? That's what happens. So it's good to know what our purpose is. So I want to take us through some stuff, okay? All right. So we're going to start at a funny place. We're going to start at the back of the Bible. We're going to start in the book of Revelation. Because I want to talk about something. Oh, no. We're not doing that. Before I gave it to Jerry, I was looking over the notes and I thought, you know what? I'm going to put these other two verses ahead of the one in Revelation. So we're not going to Revelation. Sorry. That'll come. Alright? So, if you would you go to Isaiah chapter 24? And I'm not going to tell you the verse because I don't want you to. But it's right. Because Jerry has the stuff, right?
Give me a heads up next time.
Okay, now, a funny thing happened with Adam and Eve. They rebelled against God, and therefore, God had to change his plans. And the purpose, the vision of what God had for mankind and the world, changed because of choices that man did. Right? So, man went in a different direction than what God wanted. Right? Okay. So let's hear what God says about this difference of opinion and what it caused. All right? So there it is. The earth is polluted by its inhabitants. They have transgressed teachings, overstepped decrees, and broken the everlasting covenant. The world that we live in can be described like this. The world outside, the world around us, right? And when we talk about the world, we're talking about the systems of the world. They've been corrupted. We're living in a world that there's a lot of corruption. Now, thank God, God is still with us and amongst us and has His plan, and that plan is working in the background. And we don't see a lot of the results of that lots of times. But at least it's there, right? And there's an ultimate victory. See, we already know how it ends. And so that helps us to go through all of this stuff. And all of the questions, and why this, and how come that? We know that God is a loving God. Everybody believe that God is love. He loves us. He sent His Son to die for us. I mean, come on. So we know that, don't we?
Yes.
So this is one description of the world that we live in. I think the last time I was here, I brought something about how God has sent us into the world as sheep in the midst of wolves. And because we're in, here we are, all of us, just sweet, loving, wonderful, innocent lambies.
Not Melinda.
No. But we're in the midst of a lot of corruption and abominations.
Yeah.
And I want to say this to you. If you're not the kind of person like I am, I dig into all kinds of stuff because I want to know. And I know there's numbers of you that feel the same way. And when you do that, you go, is it really that bad? Is the world really that bad? And it is. And it's even worse than what you would think. There's some places I could go with that, but I'm not going to do it. Okay. So, Romans 1, verses 22 to 25. Would somebody read that? Steve, would you read that, please? Where's John? John?
Romans 1.
Romans 1, 22 to 25. So, this is just another description of what has happened in the world. And this is what we're up against. Okay? Go ahead. 22 to 25.
Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen.
Amen. That's the world we live in. Boo-hoo. Do you think we're here for some purpose? A purpose? Okay, well, you know, let that percolate for a while. All right, so now I want you to see something else that's involved with all of this. Would you go to Revelation chapter 17? We're going to read verses 3 to 7. And it's about a particular system that's called mystery, Babylon the Great. I think you've heard some words lately about Babylon. And we're going to look at something that's behind all of that. This is, oh, I'm not there. Are you there? Would somebody read that since I'm not there? Whoever. 17:3-7.
Then he carried me away in the spirit to a wilderness. I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, jewels, and pearls. She had a golden cup in her hand filled with everything detestable and with the impurities of her prostitution. On her forehead was written a name, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and the detestable things of the earth. Then I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses to Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Mm-hmm. Then the angel said to me, "Why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and the beast with the 7 heads and the 10 horns that carry her."
Okay. All right. So what are some things that you learned from that passage? Anything. What have you learned? Or what do you get out of it? Maybe you already know it, so you've already learned it. What can you say about it?
Babylon is covered in riches and jewels and all those things that this world would think is wonderful.
Oh, excellent. Okay, so there's one thing. There's one thing right there. Everybody hear that?
I get the point of the astonishment. Like, we shouldn't be surprised.
No.
This is, like, all this stuff that's going on, like, it shouldn't catch you off, Jack.
No,
I mean, we've been talking about this for a long time.
Yes.
If you know anything about the Bible, everything going on, it shouldn't be a big surprise.
That's right. Joe, did you have something?
I'm just going to say that trying to tempt us, to lead us away.
Okay.
All right. Lead us away for those on Zoom.
Okay, thank you. Something else, Kel?
Yeah, it talks about the blasphemy, which it stands out to me, because anybody who doesn't know Jesus and doesn't know God, you know, there's a lot of that going on in America right now and throughout the world. Like, people are blaspheming the name of God.
Yes.
And so that is coming more, I think, now. It's always been, but I think more now you're seeing it very strongly, people coming against God, and even on media now, which I don't want to get into, because obviously,
right.
But yeah, mainstream media is a lie, but we won't go there. But the point is, it's even out there right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
That part is even in the church, because you got people who are deconstructing the church. People of faith who are big leaders in the church now saying that they are no longer believers of Christ.
That's right.
So that's even happening.
Yeah, very good. This is great. This is good for you to look at the scripture, not just brush over it. Oh, that's for the future. No, there's a lot of things that pertain to right now. Maybe not in the same degree that's going to happen later on, but we'll talk about this some more too, Jason.
So you talk about Babylon and the how it is appealing on that worldly sense.
Yeah.
What strikes me, the woman was drunk on the blood of God's people and
right.
The blood of those who were killed because they have been loyal to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so the world that people are looking to, this is how I see this.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's right, you'll correct that. Gets drunk, gets pleasure, gets great power from the death of those
mm-hmm.
who see the truth, who believe in Jesus. That's
absolutely true. There's one other word. All of what you said jumps out at you. There was one other word that jumped out at me.
Mystery?
Well, I'm going to talk about mystery, yes. Well, there's two other words then. I want to talk about mystery, and then I'm going to talk about one other word. All right, the word is abominations. Okay? Abomination. What's an abomination?
An
Louder so I can hear somebody.
Something that is detestable to God.
It's something detestable,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's wrong. It's immoral. It's whatever. But it's detestable to God. That's a little bit more than God saying, oh, that's, you shouldn't be doing that. No, he's a little bit upset with that one. No, he's way upset with that one, isn't he? So, this system, this mystery Babylon, and the word mystery means something that's hidden. It's a secret. And for a long time, things are going on, and I would say at least from the time of Nimrod, but maybe further back. This system of things has been going on behind the scenes, and people see governments set up, and they see this particular group of financiers doing stuff, and it's not good, and you know, and they see it on a worldly basis, but there's a spiritual force, and it's called Mystery Babylon. It's a hidden thing that you can't see because there's a spirit. It's a spirit situation that's working behind the scenes, moving on people whose hearts are open to that, to the greed, to the abominations, the immorality, whatever it might be. You getting this? So Mystery Babylon's been around a long, long, long time. It isn't just for its final presentation at the end of the age. This is something that's been hidden. And just like what Kelly said, I'm glad she said this, it's going to come out. We're actually going to see, and it's, the Lord says in the book of Ephesians, everything that's done in secret, anything that's done in the dark, anything that's hidden is going to be revealed. And it's going to be spoken from the rooftops, right? Now you think about that. Now you might say, well, that's all at the end. Are you sure? Are you really that sure? There are things that are going, by the time I finish this, I'm sorry, I'm just kind of not where I want to be. And I'm probably going to leave out something now. But there is going to be, I think, very soon, some more things that are going to come to the surface because God is putting his finger on something. And it's going to come to the surface. What those things are, well, we can all debate what that could be. But it's going to happen because God says so. That which was hidden is going to be revealed. That which is done in the dark is going to be brought out into the light.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Okay. So, I was going to go into Revelation 18 and talk about there's two aspects to Babylon. I'm not going to do that. But I do want to say, I do want to say this. Notice, because I'm going to come back to this at the very end. Notice who carries the beast. Who carries
the harlot
that's sitting on the back of the beast? That beast, that 10-horned, 7-headed beast, scarlet, is mentioned someplace else. I'm going to come back to that at the end. Alright? So, but this system, this abominable system, is carried by the beast, Carried along. Working in concert. So, a beast system is, as you're going to I think you probably already know, so I'm not going to go into all of that stuff. But it's the governments of the world. Okay? All right. So, let me think how I want, or where I'm going to go cut. Okay. All right. I'm cutting that out. I don't want to cut that out, but I'm probably going to. Let me give you something encouraging. How's that? Here's something encouraging for you. Just to feast on a little bit. This is like, you know, you're eating the heavy steak dinner, and here's some little nice little nibble thing to sweeten up your teeth. There was an article that I read, and it was called Connecting the Dots. And this was just this past week. And it was talking about people being fitly joined together. And when I read that, I went, oh, that's the Word of God Church. Let me read you what this particular pastor is describing about churches that are at a higher level. Listen to this. I'm not doing this to build you. Well, I am. I want you to know that you're doing right things, right? The church is going to go to a higher level. More like the Corinthians, where one shares a word, others confirm, and they add what they've received from the Lord. Now, this pastor is saying that it's going to happen in all these other churches. It's going to spread. And we do this here. You do this here. Right? But don't get too hard about it. But isn't that a good thing, though? You see, lots of people are not experiencing what the riches of how this is done here. I hope you never let that go. Body ministry is what's going to lead us. It's Jesus. But Jesus' idea, his vision, is for us to work together, to be fitly joined together as every joint supplies. Right? That's what's important. That's important in the church setting or in the community and the way people work together, right? It's one of the things you got to do. Okay. Oh, just so that everybody understands, and I know you know this, so it doesn't matter. But shift means to exchange one thing for another, to alter something, to change or displace something, to go to the next phase. Now, if God is saying we're going to a next phase, and usually with shifting, there's some kind of chaos. And the scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, he's not only going to shake the earth, he's also going to shake the heavens. Yet once more, I'm going to do this, he says. Does anybody remember how that goes? I'm jumping down a lot. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. God, according to a number of pastors, according to what the Lord's been showing Kathy and I and others, it's just really all over the place. I'm going to talk about a particular prophetic ministry. How many people know who Kim Clement is? Okay, Kim Clement. I'm going to mention some things about him. But okay, everybody ready for this? I know I'm kind of probably going, where do I go now? Because I'm jumping out that, and sometimes, you know, you I'm coming back to something. I'm sorry. What's that? I'm shifting. I'm shifting again. Please forgive me. I just gotta say this. You know, one of the things that the enemy does is he throws out a whole bunch of lies. All kinds of lies to our brains. And he gets us all mixed up. Because, you know, mystery Babylon, okay? Mystery is the hidden things. You know what Babylon means? Confusion. You know what really confuses you? Hearing opposite viewpoints, and then you have to try to figure out which one's true. Has that been going on for a while? I'd say so. For a long, long, long time. Right? Well, I just thought this was interesting. I'm going to give you the titles of three articles. One from Slate magazine, one from the New York Times, and one from Forbes. These are titles of articles. It is time to give up on facts. It is emotions that are important. Does that go along with the scripture? Well, gee whiz, you know, it's out of the emotions that everything that's fleshy takes place. But we're to forget about the facts and only emotionally react to what's going on. Okay, that's one thing. That's one article. Not part of God's vision.
Not a good foundation.
Not a good foundation whatsoever. Okay? Here's the New York Times article. Now, you know, a lot of people read these things. And you know, people read things and they go, oh, okay. Here's the New York Times article. Questioning authority is killing people. You can't question authority. That's what the article title says. Let me tell you what. Here's what Ben Franklin said, and you can't really call him a real religious guy, but the scriptures are clear about this. Ben Franklin said, in order to keep a republic, the citizens must question those in authority. Must. That's one of the founding fathers. There's got to be, somebody said it earlier, you got to have debate back and forth. You have to be able to say, well, I believe this, and somebody says, well, I don't believe that, this is what I... And then you hear both sides, and you make your own minds up. But you should be able to hear both sides. You shouldn't be silencing one side of a debate, should you? And it's all right to have a different opinion.
Not only that, we're the ones that hire them.
Yeah, we're the ones that are hiring who's in charge, aren't we? Okay. You know, a scripture. It's better to obey God than it is to obey man. Right? Man's making the laws. Man's saying, this is what you're going to do. Well, hold it, sir. I have a question about that. You can't have a question? Can't question authority? No, you should be able to, right? You do it in the right way. You don't bring a gun to the conversation, but you talk about things, right? Okay. Forbes article. You must not do your own research when it comes to science, John. You must not do your own research. What? Wow. Paul, in the book of Acts, says, and the Bereans were much more noble than many others because they searched out things to see if they were so. That's in the book of Acts someplace. I didn't write it down. But lots of things that you're going to hear, read, you know.
Can I interrupt?
Yes, you can.
One of the four pillars of the scientific method is skepticism.
Yes.
So people should have to prove to you,
yes,
without shadow of a doubt, and you should be as skeptical as possible,
yeah,
as part of the scientific method.
Yeah.
Just mentioned.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know, what the world bases everything on is out of line with God's vision of things, where He wants to bring us, how He wants us to live, right? So we're in this world to push up against that, aren't we? Kelly, were you going to say something?
I just want to say that there's a deception going on right now that we all know, but the deception that, you know, democracy can be good. You know, we get the right to choose, but America has got away from republic, like,
yeah,
you said, and gone into the vision that they put it in as a democracy, which is they're using that deception through democracy. The republic is based on our constitution, which they're getting away from. The democracy,
right,
is not.
Sorry, just one. Yeah, just so everybody understands that, democracy is rule of the majority.
Yes.
And sometimes that's not really the best thing, especially for the minorities. But a constitutional republic based on constitution is that it's based on the rule of law.
Right.
Not what a whole bunch of people feel, not what the majority of people feel even, but what the law says, because it comes through the elected representatives, right? So that's the big difference. That's why you hear talking about the rule of law and you hear all this, because that's what a republic is, right? And that's what we want. You know, justice is supposed to be blind. It's not supposed to be looking at who is it on trial here. We're not even going to do anything with you, type of thing, right? But this person over here, oh no, we're going after that guy. We're going after that girl, right? So justice is supposed to be blind. It's supposed to be the rule of law that's applied evenly across anybody. Yeah.
People may not be aware of this up here, but in the Seacoast area where I lived for 40 years and worked, the school boards had decided to bring in instructors to instruct the teachers what to teach the children, and that stuff is what God dealt with in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the parents that are standing up against this are domestic terrorists for speaking up against the school board.
Yeah.
And it's a battle I'm watching right now, and I'm going to continue to watch, but it's a good explanation of, expounds upon what you're talking about, Moses.
Yes.
Thank
absolutely.
You for
that. That's, yeah, absolutely. Okay, I'm going to jump ahead so we can start wrapping this up, because I can see that some people are fatiguing here. Okay, let's go to Psalm 2. Psalm chapter 2. Sorry, Jerry. Okay, this, it says this in Psalm 2, verses 1 through 3. Why are the nations in an uproar, and the people devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Let us tear their fetters apart and cast their cords from us. That's the kings of the earth in their attitude toward Messiah Jesus and God the Father. They'll have false religions. That's okay. They have wealth that can be a god. There's all kinds of other false gods that are out there, but they don't want to submit to Jesus Christ. And that's a strong, strong spirit. It's called the Antichrist spirit, right? Against, they're pushing against Christ, the Messiah. It's an Antichrist spirit. You guys know what it says in the gospel, in one of the not the Gospel of John, in one of the letters that John wrote. He said, "You have heard that Antichrist is coming." So there's a particular person that's going to embody the Antichrist spirit to a full degree. And that person is known as the Antichrist. You know that already, right? You know about the Antichrist. And it says, and you go on and read there, and it says, "Even so now, there are even many Antichrists in the world." That means there's a whole bunch of people that in some way or another are against Christ. And it looks like these kings toward the end are totally against the Lord. Is that what it looks like to you from the scripture? I'm just trying to get you to see something here. Okay? There's another place in the Epistle of John, one of the epistles, that says, where he talks about Antichrist, he says, "And even the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world." There's that spirit of Antichrist is the system of Antichrist. It's what the spirit of Antichrist has created in the world. It's the governments of the world in quite a bit of a sense. It's the way business is run in a big sense. It's infused throughout all of cultures, all the cultures, because these are against Christ. So the spirit of Christ, the spirit of the Antichrist, is the system that was created by the speaking in the ear of that spirit to people that were open to him. Do you get that? Do you understand that? Okay. All right. Last scripture. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Because this is part, I believe. You don't have to believe it, but I believe this. Revelation chapter 13. And I'm going to read you something. Revelation 13. Starting in verse 1, I'm going to read the first three verses. "And he stood on the sand of the seashore, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads." Have you heard that already today? "And on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his head were blasphemous names." And we know this is the particular government at the end of the age that the mystery Babylon is riding on. This false religion, the false culture, the false business setup, the financial thing, all of that. That's mystery Babylon. And it's riding on the beast government, the Antichrist government. Okay? Now there's a final expression of that that's down the line. But it's already in process. You understand that? Do you believe that? Okay. And then verse 2 says, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet was like those of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of the one of his heads as if it had been slain. And then his fatal wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. I want to say something here that I don't know if any of you really ever looked into, heard before. Could the beast government that's anti-Christ, that's creating a great reset in the people of the whole world. They're looking to create a one world system. Is there anybody who doesn't know that? You've read enough, you've seen, you know, World Economic Forum, you know, I'm not going to get into all the details of that, but that's what they want. That's what they want. Okay? Have you ever thought, well, how does, if the Antichrist is going to receive a head wound, could there be a situation where the Antichrist system as well receives a head wound? Could something happen where this Antichrist system that's already around gets a head wound? And they almost get taken down. It looks like they're finished. We haven't seen that yet though, have we? But you know something? Before the Antichrist takes his position as the Antichrist, there has to be a head wound to the system, as well as to this man. You hear me? I wonder how that's going to happen. Wonder what that's going to look like. I want you, if you would, pray about that. Because I think that we have something to do with that.
The church.
That's the church. The church has something to do about that. If this strong spiritual system is holding sway over the world, and the church actually wakes up to the vision that we are the ones that through our prayers, through being engaged in what's going on in the world and knowing what's going on in the world, so we can recognize, hey, we've got to pray about that. We've got to bring that down. Or do you not believe that you have the power to do it? Just like we were saying earlier.
The miracle power.
That miracle power. You know, because we don't see a lot of things happening, we tend to go, well, you know, God can do it if he wants. And I don't think we are moving in the power that we can because of our own unbelief. Our own willingness to step out and do what needs to be done, where instead of watching something on TV, we take the time to go to our prayer closet and really pray about particular things that are going on around in different parts of our society. Don't you think that we could do, you know, how's that thing go about prayer? The effect, you know what I'm here to say. What is it? The effectual fervent, like that girl that sings, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person avails what? Much. Oh, wow. See, but we don't really believe that. Not for little old me. Because we look at ourselves in our own flesh, knowing everything that's wrong about us. Right? When it's Jesus, it's Christ in you that's going to do the work. He's the one. We just get out of the way. But we speak what he tells us to speak. We're listening to him. He's the one that we follow. We sing all these words to songs that if we really grab a hold of what those things really mean and how they could be applied in a very real way, the church is going to be on fire. Just like this. I was like, oh wow, what a great song that was. We will be on spiritual fire. If it happened on Pentecost, it can happen again. And if God is doing the shifting, Kim Clement had some great prophecies, and he talked about this shift that was going to happen, and that there was going to be it was going to be in the time of a Joseph. That God had chosen to lead the people. That's when it was going to be. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen. But I do believe, you don't have to believe this. I would want you, first time you hear something like this, you know, you want to search it out, you want to look and see if it makes sense to you. But All that end time prophecy there requires that this beast has to receive a mortal head wound before it's revived, and you know sometime down the line this thing is going to be revived again, and then it's going to play out the last 7 years. Yeah, but in the meantime, it looks like that something has to happen to it first.